So 736, and I think you've already spotted what is the chief thought throughout the whole of this passage. It's the recurring theme of the mercy of the Lord that endures forever. His mercy endures forever. Now I'll let you in a little secret. Keep it in note for April, and then you can get all the presents that you need then. But if the Lord spurs me, this year I will reach my 50th birthday. And I don't know quite what it is, whether it's simply a result of getting older, but it seems that most of the news that I hear tends to be of the bad news variety. I have colleagues that I went through Bible college with that today are unable to carry out their work and ministry because of illness. There are fellows that I went to school with and kicked football with that I look and know of today that have developed cancer, some with no hope of recovery. The reality is that now, as I'm firmly within middle age, I'm noticing that many of my friends that I still see on the likes of Facebook are dealing with exceptionally difficult circumstances. Some have lost their wives. Others are finding themselves at times of great distress. I noted just the other evening, two boys that I went to school with have lost both their parents recently. They're dealing with the grief and the sorrow that comes with it. And I suspect as the longer we go on in this life, we begin to see just how imperfect life is and how mortal we truly are as human beings. And there's a great deal of hurt going on in the world today, and I don't think any of us doubt that for a moment. I think when we were younger, there was that feeling of invincibility, that nothing could hurt or harm us. And that's probably a good thing to feel when we're young, when we're strong and brave and able to conquer any obstacle set before us. And it gives us the courage to attempt great things. Someone once said that it's a pity that youth is wasted on the young. That by the time we gain enough wisdom in this life and enough experience, that we've lost some of that innocence and carefree spirit. And, if only we had the youth and vitality to go along with the wisdom and experience. So as I say, it seems the older that I get, the news that I hear is usually more of a distressing kind and variety. But it's during those times of crisis that we discover what it is that we truly believe. And it's during those times that we should be seeking to remind ourselves of the great and many promises of God. And that's what I hope that we will do this morning for a few moments, to remind ourselves something about the Lord who has saved us, who keeps us, and will one day bring us to heaven. Now, you know that we always stress the importance of having good theology, because we have to find out who God is, so that when the winds of sorrow begin to blow upon us, that we know who it is that we're turning to and finding refuge in. And so here in Psalm 136, we see this principle at work. This psalm is sometimes referred to as a hallelujah psalm, because it contains no petitions, there are no complaints, there are no requests, there are no problems. It's simply a psalm of praise. And so instead, we find it listing certain moments where God has worked throughout history, and each of them being answered with the refrain, "His mercy endureth forever." And I've no doubt that when this psalm was used in worship in Old Testament times, that the song leader would probably read the first line of each verse, and the congregation would respond with that chorus, "For his mercy endureth forever." So what do we find in the psalm? Well, we find initially a call to praise. Notice how the psalm begins. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever." These opening verses give us some reasons why we ought to be praising God. He is good. He is the God of gods. He is the Lord of lords. Now there are gods aplenty and lords aplenty, but there is only one true God, and there is only one Lord of lords, and he rules over everything. And to that great God belongs our best and our deepest and our highest praise. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." He is the supreme being in all the universe. He is good in all that he does. You know, it's impossible for us really to overestimate the value of these wonderful truths. That the Lord is God of gods, he's Lord of lords, and he is good. You see, if he were not supreme, if he were not God, then we would not worship him. If he were not good, then we would not trust him. But because he is both good and the Lord of lords, we not only trust him, but we bow before him in worship and in praise. And notice the answering chorus in each verse: "His mercy endureth forever." Those simple words remind us of all the times that God's love is upon display, and he is working on our behalf, and that as his children, we are the beneficiaries of all of his grace, and we reply to every circumstance and every situation that the mercy of God endures forever. Let's define our terms. What about this word mercy? It actually refers to God's loyal love toward us, his faithfulness. We might make reference to his covenant love. It's a love that lasts because it's based upon an unbreakable commitment that he has made to us. It's not like the love of men, where we love something one day only to hate it the next. This is God's unchanging love that is on display. It's his covenant love. It's to be reflected, if you like, in the love of a husband for his wife, or a mother for her children. This is God's love. It is eternal because his covenant is eternal. He cannot not love his people. We are told that this great love and faithfulness and mercy of God endures forever. It outlasts every problem that we face. It will transcend every trouble that we encounter. It's a love and a mercy that will endure even when our life comes to an end. Charles Spurgeon put it this way. He said, "No saint shall fall finally or fatally. Sorrow may bring us down to the earth, and death may bring us down to the grave, but lower we cannot sink. And out of the lowest of all, we shall arise to the highest of all." I'm sure, like many of you, when you've stood at the grave side of a loved one, we want to know the great truths. Where are they? Is death the end, or is there something beyond the grave? So what is it that gives confidence to the Christian to face whatever circumstances we have to face in this life?
What is it that gives us confidence when we stare death face to face? What is it that gives us hope that beyond the grave there is a place of paradise in the bosom of God, a heaven prepared for those that know and love Him? Well, here's our confidence. The mercy of God endures forever. This is our great hope. We will face difficult times in this life, but His mercy endureth forever. We may at times stumble and fall, but His mercy endureth forever. We will feel Him on many occasions, but His mercy endures forever. And even one day we shall die, be led into our final resting place, but even then His mercy endures forever. We find a call to praise God, to give thanks unto Him, because He is good, because He is the God of gods, because He is Lord of lords. Now, not only do we find a call to praise, we're also given the reason why we should be praising. The remainder of Psalm 136 gives us a survey of God's great faithfulness. It begins in verse 5 with creation, and it ends in verse 26 with Israel's entry into the promised land. Let's look at some of these just very quickly. Verses 5 to 9 follows really the general pattern of Genesis chapter 1. To Him that by wisdom made the heavens, to Him that stretched out the earth above the waters, to Him that made the great lights, the sun to rule by day, the moon and stars to rule by night. We're following the lines of Genesis chapter 1. You notice that everything in the universe has been created and made by His wisdom. Of course, points to the Lord Jesus Christ. That rules out a purposeless evolution or blind fate or chance. That a universe came into being because God willed it to be so. I like how one old saint answered the question that was put to him, "Do you believe in the Big Bang theory?" He said, "I sure do." He says, "God said it, and bang, it happens." I think the writer of Psalm 136 might agree with him. God said it, and it happened. That by wisdom God made the heavens. The entire universe came into being by the plan of God, that His mighty arm was put to work. Nothing was made by chance. Nothing evolved into being through some random mutation. God's wisdom stands behind the universe as we see it. By wisdom He made the heavens. And since the universe rests upon God's wisdom, then none of us can truly, fully understand the universe around us without first knowing God. If you leave God out of the equation, you've missed the fundamental truth. In order to understand human origins and the true history of all things, we must begin with God's understanding as He reveals it to us in His Word. When we start there, we start on firm ground. Start anywhere else, and you're in quicksand and you're sinking. Philosophers have said that all mankind struggles with three great questions. Where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? I would say the first of those questions is fundamental. Where did I come from? Because until we can answer that question, we can't answer the other two properly. Some people think it doesn't matter where we came from or even where we are going, that the only thing that really matters is what we do while we are here upon the earth. But the question of our origin is important. Because if we didn't come from anywhere and we aren't going anywhere, then all that we have left is what, 60, 70, 80 years that we spend upon this earth? that really all that matters? Why not then just eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we'll die? Why bother getting involved in anything outside of ourselves if this life is all that there is? This life is not all that there is. We have been made in God's image. His love is so great towards us that He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for us. And then nothing matters more than knowing this God personally and intimately and deeply. Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endureth forever. Then the psalmist moves from creation to the Exodus, beginning at verse 10. And he recalls the amazing series of miracles by which God freed His people from Egyptian bondage. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, verse 10, brought out Israel from among them, with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, to him which divided the Red Sea into parts, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. You know, these verses tell me God has no problem dealing with His enemies. He has no problem making the difficult way before us easy. He can part the Red Sea. He only asks that His people acknowledge that it is the Lord that has done these things, and not we ourselves. We should praise the Lord that not only have we been delivered, but that His enemies and ours will be scattered, confounded, and utterly defeated, because His mercy endures forever. Verse 16 brings us to the wilderness wanderings. The psalmist sums up 40 years of wandering from the time they left Egypt to the day they entered the promised land. He sums it up in one verse. To Him which led His people through the wilderness, for His mercy endureth forever. There's so much that happened during those 40 years. There's the manna supplied day by day. There's the quail that was sent to feed them. Water from the rock. Balaam and his talking donkey. Moses at Mount Sinai. The golden calf. The 12 spies. There's so much that happened. And through it all, God led His people day by day until they finally reached the promised land. Now I want you to notice something there in verse 16. God led His people through the wilderness. Not around it, but through it. In order to get to the promised land, they had to go through the desert experience. So it may be for us that as God leads His people towards heaven, we're not guaranteed an easy road, but we are guaranteed a safe passage that we will make to the end of the journey. And like the children of Israel, we may experience many detours and many turnarounds and more than a few delays and more dead ends than we want to encounter, but we believe that God, in and through it all, will make sure that we finally go through the wilderness and arrive in the place of promise. And we have that hope because His mercy endures forever. Then beginning at verse 17, we're told of the conquest of their enemies. To him which smote great kings and slew famous kings, Sion king of the Amorites and Og king of Bashan, and gave their land for an heritage, even an heritage unto Israel for his servant. You can read of the stories of Sion and Og in Numbers chapter 21. The children of Israel had desired free passage through the land of the Amorites, and Sion, their king, refused them that entry and actually attacked them. He was defeated, of course. And Israel ended up occupying all the cities of the Amorites. And they marched a little bit further up the road to where Og, king of Bashan, met them, only to have his army defeated also. Numbers 21 and verse 35 says that they smote him and his sons and all his people until there was none left him alive, and they possessed his land. You know what's so encouraging about that reference? Because they remind us of God's faithfulness in spite of our repeated failures. You see, the children of Israel weren't really on very good terms with God at this particular time. They were mumbling and grumbling and complaining about the way that they had to go and the difficulties that they had to encounter. And wasn't it so much better back in Egypt? And yet God still defeated their enemies for them. It would have been easy for them to think that our sin has made God forget us. That we have no hope and no future. That we have blown this opportunity. And yet in spite of their sin and in spite of their foolishness, God never gave up on his people. So child of God, take hope. Take encouragement that our past failures need not define our future with God. We may have failed time and time and time again, but there is still mercy for those who trust. Who knows but that tomorrow you might see the Lord give that great victory in your life, because his mercy endures forever. When we look at verse 23, we're reminded of a God who remembered us in our low estate and hath redeemed us from our enemies and giveth food to all flesh. He remembers us. He redeemed us. He feeds us. I believe these verses are speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ and his coming. The Son of God was sent to redeem us from our sins. And as the bread of life, we feast upon him daily. And he nourishes and he satisfies. And what God has done for ancient Israel, he does for us, his people, everywhere and every day. For the same reason. For his mercy endureth forever. And the last verse, verse 26, it ends again with a great call to praise God. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. Let me leave just a couple of simple thoughts with you as we bring our time to a close. We've had a review of the history of the people of Israel in this chapter. Do you know what we're reminded most of all? That the history is not so much about us as it is about God. That's a profound truth as we look at the events of the past. We are not the center of history. God is. It's his story. And what happens to us matters to God, but the real point of our life is simply to glorify him in all that we do. To see his hand at work. To trust him even in the darkest moments. To give thanks to him for every victory we attain. To lean hard upon his word. To desire to grow more like him day by day. To live our lives in such a way that it becomes easier for others to trust in the Lord. That's why the psalmist connects all of these various points of history with this great triumphant cry of praise, his mercy endureth forever. Every step of their history, every part of it, was due to the mercy of God. And if we miss this, or if we downplay this, or if we think somehow that God is optional to our lives, then we've missed the very purpose of our existence. What is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. That's what our catechism says, and we affirm that, and we do so gladly, but it's not always easy. And this long recital of Israel's history, where the psalmist covers a number of centuries in just a few sentences, Let's not forget that God's plan was not always easy to be seen every step of the way. When the Jews were groaning in Egypt under Pharaoh's whip, they thought themselves to be abandoned by the Lord. Still later, after they'd been delivered from Egypt, they complained about how much they missed being back in Egypt again. How short-sighted we can be sometimes. How quick to forget God's goodness to us. We pray for deliverance and then we complain when it comes. It's almost like we're born wishing for something better. But this psalm reminds us that in every single verse that God's ways are not always our ways. And sometimes we only truly see God's great plan, as one writer said, in the rearview mirror. We'll look back upon what has happened and we can say, "Ah, I see it now." It's difficult to see God's plan when we're in the furnace. All we see there are the flames, but we need this psalm to remind us, because we're prone to forget that the hand of God across all of these centuries is because His mercy endures forever. And just because we can't always see it or trace it doesn't mean that it's not there. It just means that we haven't seen it yet. We aren't the center of the universe. God is. God is. And the big picture for us to remember is that His mercy endures forever. We should repeat that little phrase over to ourselves. We should memorize it. And when we feel tempted to despair, we should ponder upon that great thought. His mercy endures forever. When we want to give up, write down some of the verses from this chapter. Stick it on your fridge door or on the dashboard of your car, that you can see it on a regular basis. His mercy endures forever. You're faced with trials and difficulties that seem overwhelming. Remind yourself, His mercy endures forever. The devil starts to whisper in your ear about all of your faults and your failures. Tell him to hit the road and remind him that God's mercy endures forever. And when you've had your fill and it seems that you've had all that you could take and the world is collapsing around you, stand up and lift up your head and shout out your praise. His mercy endures forever. So no matter what will happen during the course of this week, this month, or this year that lies ahead, whatever problems we might face, His mercy endures forever. Whether we feel like it or not, whether we understand it or not, whether we appreciate it or not, His mercy endures forever. We are entering into a new year with all of its promise and with all of its uncertainty. And we bring into 2022 the accumulated weight of all of our fears and worries from previous days. There's that remembrance of all of our failures. And we bring our dreams and our hopes for the next year. I don't know what 2022 holds for us. As I scan the internet, and I don't know that that's necessarily a good place to look for advice, but I see article after article with predictions for 2022, and some are filled with doom and gloom. Others are slightly more optimistic. I'm not a prophet, nor am I a son of a prophet, but I am certain of this much, that as I step forward into 2022, that God's great promise still stands firm. His mercy endureth forever. And because God is God, that promise will be true not only today, It will be true in 6 months' time. It will be true in 12 months' time. It will be true forever. He is God. He cannot change. His love toward us cannot change. His mercy endureth forever. Perhaps things may go well for us in 2022. I trust and pray that they do. Perhaps we might experience amazing answers to our prayers. May that be our portion. But if hard times come, and they may very well do so, you may struggle to meet ends meet. You might feel that you've lost your way, or that friends have turned against you, or that the sky is tumbling down upon you. Go back to Psalm 136 and read it aloud and remind yourself that we have a God who acts throughout history. That His ways are not our ways. Ponder His mighty power in the past. Consider how He has led you thus far. Think of the many promises that He has made to you. Fix your mind upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And then no matter what else might or may happen this year, stake your claim upon this great truth and rejoice evermore because His mercy, God's mercy, endures forever. And herein is our great hope, that having been loved by God, that we are still loved by God, and we will be forever loved by God, because His mercy endureth forever. May we rejoice in this passage. May we take it as our theme for the rest of the year, and may we continue to rejoice in the God whose mercy endures forever. May the Lord bless these few thoughts to our hearts this morning. Amen.